So we have this really wonderful confluence of readings and quasi-liturgical realities and baptisms all kind of brought together. So we have baptisms. This is seen as a Good Shepherd Sunday where there's focus on the priesthood. And these things come together also on a day that we dedicate to the World Prayer for Vocations. And so I want us to spend time with the baptismal reality that maybe often we go past too quickly. That in baptism, we are baptized as priests. We share in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Yes, in a way that is different from the ordained priesthood, no doubt. But what is that for? What is that configuration to the priesthood of Christ for in the life of all of us who are disciples of Jesus? It is to offer sacrifice. And what is sacrifice? Sacrifice is suffering that has been joined to love. And so what Jesus has done in drawing us into baptism, where we share life with him so closely that the saints talk about it as two pieces of wax being fused together, that he has given us the opportunity and the call to take the sufferings that will come to us in this fallen world and unleash the power of his resurrection through them. He is giving us the opportunity to make them part of the perfect offering of sacrifice to the Father. So how are we doing in our offering of suffering? How are we doing living out that baptismal priesthood so that we may no longer suffer, but rather sacrifice? I think we're struggling. Over and over, when we are faced with those sufferings that don't seem fair, our first reaction seems to be, how do I change this? How do I fight this? If I can't do that, how am I going to complain? Make a martyr of myself. That's different than allowing the Lord into the woundedness and pain of our heart. We need to do that. But we also cannot shy away from the call that Jesus has placed on each of us to bear our sufferings with love, that they may be joined to his sacrifice. This is what we hear in the words of Peter. Instead of suffering being something that's ancillary, we are called to look on Jesus, who suffered for us and left us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. So please don't hear what I'm not saying. Deacon Joshua and I had the same seminary professor who was a great moral theologian who would say, because seminarians love to try and heroically take on extra suffering and say things like, oh, well, I have a headache, so I won't take Tylenol. He would say, take the Tylenol. You know, if somebody is speaking ill of us, we have a right to charitably speak the truth about ourselves. But what happens when the Tylenol doesn't work? What happens when someone chooses to continue to speak ill of us? What about all of those things that we don't get to choose? Do we resent them? Do we numb out from them? Do we run away? Do we insist that God give us what the silver lining is, what the good is on the other side of it, to trace out exactly what resurrection looks like. In all of those things, we sort of turn away from the crucifixion. And yet, we know from our own experiences of love that it is only those who are most intimate with us, those who are closest to us, whom we desire to go even deeper with, that we expose the wounds and sufferings of our own hearts. And so Jesus does the same. To be a disciple of Jesus, to be intimate with him, to be a friend of Christ, is to not shy away from looking him eye to eye when he is suffering, and seeing in that an invitation of love to bring our own sufferings, that they may become one sacrifice. Great spiritual writer, contemporary right now, Father Donald Haggerty, has this beautiful image that we find ourselves in the crowd that surrounds our Lord being crucified, and his eyes search the crowd looking for those who will meet his eyes. And so in that, accept being joined to him. But I think that in the modern American church, we have adopted an attitude that says, I'm ready to fight for my faith, but I'm not ready to suffer. I'll look for ways to push back against the culture, against what I think is the infiltration of the church. I'll demand that things be reverent. I'll insist that Father proclaim clearly the moral teachings of the church. But then, when suffering comes for us, our devotion leaves something to be desired. Because we think, well, maybe if I just said the right chaplet, if more people just prayed the rosary, if this devotion or that apparition were listened to, then I would no longer have to suffer. Everything would be fixed. We are always looking for a way to just delete the suffering when we have a God who has chosen to embrace it and transform it by love into sacrifice. This is the call of the intimate disciples of Jesus. I know we love our parish community. I know we love what is unique about it. But what is unique about it, brothers and sisters, is not the exterior. It is our orthodoxy. But orthodoxy is right worship. And how does Jesus offer worship to the Father? It is by his sacrifice. And so, yes, we may have envisioned that in Journey in Faith, we would be a hub that everybody comes to. That's not the way that it went. But have we allowed ourselves to see in that an invitation from the Lord to say, keep being orthodox, come closer and worship me more deeply, more preciously, giving me that which is most dear to you and the suffering that is perhaps most intense, that I may turn it into sacrifice? That is a high call and a hard call. There is no doubt about that. But this is the example that Jesus has left for us. And in fact, even more than just leaving us an example to follow, he walks it with us. This Good Shepherd Sunday, we have the image that Jesus chooses of himself as the gate. Because in Jesus' day, the way that sheep were cared for is that they were put into a pen overnight, not with a wooden gate, but the shepherd himself becoming the gate, that he would lay across the gap so that anything that would come for them would have to go through him first. Such is the way that Jesus cares for us. He doesn't just take us and put us into some heaven on earth. Instead, he dignifies us by calling us to holiness and to heroism, being joined in this life not to his victory, but to his suffering. That he chooses to take our sufferings the way that he took death, and instead of just ignoring it, getting rid of it, removing it as a reality of the universe, to take it and make it something profound by the introduction of divine love into it. This is the mystery of the saints. This is the fulfillment of baptism. Because in being baptized, we are being given the call to be saints, and there is no exception in the call for any of us. But as St. Francis de Sales says, looking at the sufferings that will come to us, Jesus knows them intimately. And if they will be too much for us, then he will shield us from them. But if not, he will give us the unfailing strength to bear them. I think this is a truth we have not preached as a church enough. And so when we look at the evangelical power and the life of the church that's meant to go into the world, we go, like Peter, into the garden with a sword, thinking that that will be enough to win the day, and being embarrassed and giving in to fear and withdrawing, because his strength of will was not enough. What does Jesus desire to do with the suffering that we embrace in love so as to make a sacrifice? All of us here have people in our lives who we desire to know Jesus in his church more fully. We have people that we're worried about. Those who are imprisoned by sin that we don't know how to help them out of. We try and figure out solutions and answers. When Jesus looks at us from the cross with love, he says, "Come be with me." Peter, who is the source of our second reading, has learned by the time he writes to his people that the answer all along was not his willingness to fight, but his willingness to stay close to Jesus so that his love might transform the suffering that he was experiencing. He finally understands that it was not in the wounds that he inflicted on the high priest's servant, but rather in the wounds that Christ freely accepted, that healing and salvation were set loose. Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel. This is what disciples in today's world are called to not run away from the sufferings that we can do nothing about, from the headaches that Tylenol doesn't fix, but instead to look to Jesus on the cross and make eye contact with him, to look on him with love and receive his look of love and say, "I will do this for you." And I wish desperately, as your pastor, that I could tell you in the catalog of sufferings that I know so many of you carry exactly how Jesus has used it and is using it for good. I wish that I could tell you exactly how everything was going to bear fruit. but I can't. And if I did, I would be pointing you to the gifts and not the one who is the giver of the gift. And my job is to point you to him. But he is good. He came. Indeed, that the one who comes to steal and to slaughter and destroy doesn't have any lasting power. Not because those things don't happen, but because even they have been turned to good, have been turned to sources of life and life in abundance. So may we boldly, humbly, trustingly come to Jesus, doesn't just stand off as an example to follow, but comes to us as food. May we approach him and allow him close, yes, to the wounds of our heart, to love us, to sustain us in them, but also to unleash his priestly and saving power through those wounds, through us who have been baptized to share in his life, in this life, in the valley of tears that it can be, and in the life of the kingdom to come.